You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, one and all. A warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, ahead of a busy Premier League weekend. Six televised games this weekend and issues to be sorted at the top of the league and, of course, at the bottom of the league as well. Dave Kellner alongside Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern on the podcast. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Derek McGovern.
Good morning, chaps. Both are well.
Very well indeed. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. I'm just reeling from the news that of Zlatan Ibrahimovic's wage and salary. I thought he was the best paid man in sport, but just behind Derek McGovern, I think. Just behind. I bet that really pleased you, Derek, when you were reading how much he earns.
Well, he was told he could name his own salary. He said he'd name it Fred. Oh God! Move on quick.
Yeah, is that the standard this week, Derek? Or
yes,
are you going to look above that at some point?
Doesn't get any better than that. Sorry.
Let's get stuck. I thought you were going to mention Solomon Rondon for a second.
Well, he got it on the mark last week, wasn't he? Broke his drought.
Yeah, I was going to let you mention it, Dave. We can revel in that glory a little bit later on.
Well, we'll revel in it very shortly, because first game this weekend televised tonight, 8 p.m. kickoff, West Brom versus Chelsea. At 9-1, the Baggies to win this game. The draw 7-2, Chelsea in the betting at 4-11. Diego Costa and Eden Hazard both to score. Was 3-1, that's been enhanced to 4-1. And that man, Solomon Rondon, to score and West Brom to win was 12-1. That's been enhanced to 14-1. And Chelsea beat West Brom 1-0 in the reverse fixture at Stamford Bridge. And they can win the title by picking up 3 points in this one. Very impressive performance against Middlesbrough on Monday. And should they win this match as well, they'll have won 42 points away from home in the Premier League this season. That will be the highest tally of away points by a Premier League side since Manchester United took 42 back in 2011-2012. It should be, Tom, the crowning glory for Chelsea at the Hawthorns this evening.
Yeah, it should be, and it will be as well. I mean, I think that they're coming up against a West Brom side that are out of form, have been out of sorts now for quite a while, and even at home, what they lost four of their last five matches at home, West Brom. So you know they're not coming up. At one point this season, we'd say West Brom at the Hawthorns, yeah, it was a tough test because West Brom were defending pretty well and they were scoring a fair amount of goals. But Chelsea have just, as soon as the finishing line has kind of been in sight for them, they've stepped it up sort of another level. And in terms of the clean sheets, they've managed to keep in the last two matches as well. You know, that they were kind of evading them. But they've got them back, so, you know, they're defending pretty well. And the thing with Chelsea is, and this has been, I've heard it debated quite a bit this week. You know, I watched them on Monday night. They performed well. Everyone performed well. They were good. They weren't that exciting. They were always in control of the game. And that is Chelsea this season. They're a team that know exactly how to manage every single game situation. There have been very few blips. And when there have been, they've bounced back almost immediately. And it doesn't surprise me, that stat, really, about their away form, really, because I think they're as good without the ball as they are with it. You know, they lull teams into a bit of a false sense of security. But I still don't think they've kind of played in top gear this season. I think it says a lot about the rest of the league. I know we discussed it quite a bit this season. I don't think they're going to be regarded as one of the greatest ever Premier League champions. Far from it. But they've been incredibly good at what they've done. And I expect them to do that again against West Brom. And you know, you're looking at Chelsea away from home. That one against Everton pretty much sealed it. And tonight, I can see Chelsea. My feeling with Chelsea always is they will just do enough. And enough for them tonight is, of course, 3 points. They'll pick that up. But, of course, at 4-11, you're looking at kind of how they're going to pick up the points. And I'm going to bat them to win the game and under 2.5 goals are at 11-5. I can see 2-0. It's kind of, you know, burnt into my brain, really, that this will be a Chelsea 2-0 clean sheet, which ticks that box. Couple of goals just to never really give West Brom much of a sniff. They'll keep them at arm's length and they'll win the game without it being fantastic, without it being free-flowing, but it will be enough and Chelsea will be worthy champions.
Chelsea to win the game 2-0, by the way. That's available at 6-1 here with William Hill. West Brom have only scored in two of their last nine Premier League matches, only picked up 2 points from their last six as well.
But they've got Rondon.
They have got Rondon. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Even with him, they're only picking up minimal points at the moment. They might have been flattered by that 2-2 draw at Turf Moor last weekend as well, Derek, because Burnley were missing both Ben Mee and Michael Keane, who have been talismanic at the heart of that defence for Burnley this season. So maybe slightly flattered last weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter what West Brom do. They stay in eighth resolutely. I mean, they're the eighth best team in the Premier League, which just goes to show how bad this league is. The rest of them are. It's just a shocking stat there. I mean, you watch Baggies, they always somehow manage to suck the life out of you. That's according to a survey of Baggies fans. I mean, it's just, you know, I look at their team sheet, there's such an absence of stardust in the side. There's no flair. Given their early approach, probably plenty of moon dust, but no stardust. There's not. I look at West Brom and I think, when are they ever going to win a game? But they must have won a few, and I haven't been looking because they're eight. What Tom says is right here. Chelsea are going to win. They're not going to make mistakes here. You could argue, suppose, if you're looking for a crumb of comfort to back West Brom, that it's their final home game of the season, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And you could argue that Chelsea maybe want to be crowned champions on Monday night when they're at home to Watford in front of their own fans. But I don't think that matters to Premier League footballers. They just want to get the job done, and Chelsea will. Long odds on away from home for a good reason. They'll probably do it. But you know what? I was looking for some sort of bet I could have on this game, and I haven't seen this bet before on the Hills website. Maybe I haven't been looking closely enough, but it's in the Your Odds thing. And it's each team to get over one corner in each half. So, you know, both teams are good. West Brom have got to get two corners in both halves, and Chelsea have as well, minimum of two corners. Now, that's a big 4-1, that is 19-5. Just seems a big price to me, that. I'm sure it's all done on stats, and, you know, that price is exactly right. But sometimes you look at odds and you think, that seems wrong now. And that seems wrong to me. So I might just have a little dabble on that. But a Friday night game on telly, that doesn't really interest me, to be honest. I'll have a bet on that, and that will keep my interest up.
I think West Brom win by scrambling home corners. Gareth McCauley in like the 72nd minute from about 4 yards. That's how West Brom have won their games this season. And do look at hashtag Your Odds here with William Hill. If you want to tweet a bet to @WilliamHill using the hashtag Your Odds, the traders will price it up. And looking at this game tonight, there are already dozens of hashtag Your Odds bets available on the William Hill website. So do check those out. West Brom versus Chelsea. West Brom 9-1, the draw 7-2. Chelsea, who should be anointed champions at the Hawthorns this evening, 4-11 for them to pick up 3 points tonight. Let's go to Saturday's televised games, and we start with Man City versus Leicester, which is a 12:30 kickoff. And Man City are 2-7 to win this match. The draw 4-1 with Leicester City available at 11-1. The enhanced odds, Leroy Sané to score and Man City to win, was 5-4. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 14-1. That's now 20-1. And Leicester continued their fine home form with a win against Watford last weekend, Derek. Comprehensive 3-0 victory. And their recent record against Manchester City is good as well. They've won their last two league games against City, scoring at least three goals each time. They beat them 3-1 back in February 2016 and 4-2 back in December 2016. And unsurprisingly, they haven't won three in a row against City for 50 years. And City did hammer Palace 5-0 at the Etihad last weekend, but this price isn't giving anything away for Manchester City at 2-7, Derek.
No, you're right. That Leicester game, by the way, the 3-0 game last year, that was the game when you suddenly realised Leicester are going to win the league. They marmalised City that day. It was an incredible performance, and Riyad Mahrez was outstanding. You know, when you're back in 11-1 poke in the Premier League, you're relying on two things: that they play above themselves and the team who are long odds on favourites have an absolute stinker. Right, you don't need that this weekend. Leicester are not our 11-1 team. Now, the only reason they're 11-1 is that they've got nothing to play for. They've sealed survival, et cetera, et cetera. And City have got it all to play for. They need 3 points to get in the Champions League. But we've been saying that about City for a long time now, and they keep stumbling. Leicester have been unbelievable. I don't think this is a team that's on the beach at all. This is a team that's still playing for their manager, because fantastic job though he's done. There's been no confirmation yet that Craig Shakespeare has got the job full-time. It should be a given. But still, he seems to be getting the tune out of his players. And Leicester won't have to be brilliant to win this game, you know. 11-1 is too big. I'm going to go for them.
I think a few people, Tom, might be looking at that enhancement for Vardy to score and Leicester to win as well, which has been enhanced from 14-1 to 20-1, because he's definitely, I've mentioned this on previous podcasts as well, been revitalised since Shakespeare took command. He's got 7-10 now, Jamie Vardy. It has to be said, Leicester's best form has come at the King Power.
Well, it has, and I think you remember that game against Man City back in December, and people thought that was going to be Leicester on the charge. They beat them 4-2, but they were 4-0 up, and they were 3-0 up inside the first 20 minutes. Vardy got a hat-trick that day. But that, for me, you know, I know people were going overboard about Leicester's performance. I remember it after that game, but for me, it was as much about Man City being absolutely shambolic defensively, and they're still not great. And particularly, you know, I don't think the Etihad has ever been a real sort of fortress for them. Even when they were winning league titles, I still thought, you know, the atmosphere and everything there, I still think teams went there thinking they could get a result. It wasn't like going to Old Trafford back in the 90s where, you know, you'd just be thankful for eternity if you managed to get a point. And their home form this season, in particular, how many goals that they've conceded. I mean, both teams to score has landed in well over two-thirds of their home matches this season for Man City. So they give teams a chance. The other reason that Leicester, I think, are as big as they are is probably down to their away form, which has been poor. And even recently under this kind of resurgence under Craig Shakespeare, they've not managed many good results, but they've still been in games. I mean, the victory at West Brom and a 3-2 against West Ham, they're the two victories that they've had of late, but they have suffered some pretty embarrassing sort of away defeats. But I can't disagree with Derek here. Leicester should not be 11-1 in a game like this. I mean, I think both teams to score is a certainty at 4-6. And although Man City beat Palace, 5-0, I mean, it was as much. I mean, we talk about teams being on the beach. There was an example of it with Crystal Palace. I mean, I don't know if Big Sam had already booked the trip to Vegas or whatever, but they were absolutely shambolic. And if you lie down against Man City, they are still one of the most ruthless teams when it's nice and easy for them. But I think Leicester will give them something to think about, and they will be hurt, and they will remember that game down at the King Power, earlier this season. I'm going to play the draw and both teams to score at 11-2, but I couldn't put anybody off, a small stake on Leicester here at a big price.
Okay, let's move on to Stoke versus Arsenal. This is 5:30 on Saturday. Stoke is 7-2 to win this match. The draw 14-5 with Arsenal in the betting at 8-11. The enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win, was 15-2. That's been enhanced to 9-1. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 7-5. That's been enhanced to 7-4. Stoke with 41 points, Tom, are just winding down for the season now. But Arsenal, after their win against Manchester United and the win against Southampton midweek, are hoping to finish inside the top four again, although that still looks pretty unlikely. Manchester United made them look pretty good last Sunday afternoon, Tom.
Yeah, they did. I'm still trying to work out Arsenal, really, because I kind of look at their results and I think, well, they won 6 of the last 13 Premier League games. I think they only won 3 of the last 11 away. Generally, their form lines are poor, but, obviously they're kind of out of the headlines a little bit now because of the last few results that they've had. They've been all right of Arsenal. I wouldn't be going overboard about their performances. And even away from home, the two most recent victories against Southampton in midweek, which was, again, they kind of left it late. They were hanging on at times, but they were worthy of their victory. And again, they made hard work of it at Middlesbrough. I'm still not sure about them. I know they've notched up a few results. And although you're right, it's still probably looking unlikely that they're going to finish in the top four. You wouldn't put it past them, would you? Winning the FA Cup and finishing in the top four. And in theory, would they have had a better season than Tottenham if they finished second and trophyless? Mm. That's probably a debate for a different day. But this is the fixture, isn't it? This is the fixture that everybody has pinned up for years and years. If you were going to hold a lecture about Arsenal's deficiencies, this is the fixture, isn't it? Arsenal going to Stoke, it's everything that Arsenal don't like, and it still is everything that Arsenal don't like. And Stoke might be in no form. I mean, they're like West Brom, Stoke. I never remember them winning a game. I barely remember their last victory, but yet, they're still hovering around in that kind of sort of mid-table area. They've not really moved too far, 13th at the moment. And the thing is, at home, they've been pretty solid, haven't they? They've won just one of their last 9 games, but recently they've only lost one of those last 4, and they've only lost 2 of their last 12 matches at home. And they've not lost to Arsenal, in 6 games at home? So, this is a team that I think they enjoy kind of taking on. And I'm not reading too much into Arsenal's recent, victories. The Manchester United game, I'm not sure about the Manchester United team that day. And Southampton are really struggling to hurt teams at the moment. So I think they're wins that they kind of had to get. I think Arsenal need to win, but I don't think that they will. I think this will be a draw. And I'm going to play the draw here at 14-5. I think Stoke have been fairly good at home. Arsenal are kind of improving a little bit with that three at the back, but ultimately I don't think they get the 3 points here because I don't think Stoke and the pride they have at home will let them do it. So I'm going to play the draw. There might be goals in it, there might not, but I think it's going to end all square.
0-0 draw, by the way. Big price at 14-1 here. Arsenal have actually failed to score in three of their last four Premier League visits to the Bet365 Stadium. Two of those games have ended 0-0. And this is a really interesting stat from Opta here as well, Derek. Mark Hughes versus Arsene Wenger in the Premier League. He's unbeaten in his last eight home Premier League meetings with Wenger. Won five of those and drawn three. And that's that run's come spread across five different clubs as well, be it at Blackburn, Man City, Fulham, QPR, or Stoke most recently. A Stoke a big price at 7-2. I do like that 14-1 as well, yeah. Derek, for the 0-0.
I do. I think that's a massive price. You can see you've just mentioned the last couple of results at the Britannia or the Bet365 Stadium now. It's a massive price, far too big. People go on about Arsenal, you know, still with an outside chance of getting into the top four. But it seems to me that they don't believe it themselves. It seems to me that the players don't even want to be, you know, don't even want to be in it. You're hearing nothing about it. It just seems to be a drab end of season feel about Arsenal. And okay, they won their last two games, but one of them was against Man United, who weren't interested. And the other one was against Southampton. And by all accounts, they were played off the park in the first half. So I wouldn't get with it. That's not a resurgence for Arsenal, that. I mean, if they do miss out in the Champions League, you know, what will it do? It will save them a few games. They'll play like six games fewer because they go out pretty quickly anyway. I don't think it's any big disaster for Arsenal. It'll probably cost them an estimated 80 million quid. But in the past, they could always cover that by selling their best player. Now they don't have one. So that's the problem for Arsenal. I'm prepared to back anybody against Arsenal these days. But if that's 14-1, you know, I think generally a 0-0 draw, and you know, the best place you'd see normally is about 11-1. I'm struggling to wait 14-1 is offered for this. It just seems too big for me. I can't let that go. Obviously, I'm not telling you anything. You ain't no goal scorer rather than a 0-0 draw because you get an own goal covering it. But that's what I'm going to go for here. A couple of weeks to go for the end of the season. I'm going to go for a few biggies.
Yeah, I don't mind that bet at all. 14-1 for the 0-0 draw in the game. Let's move on to Sunday's TV matches. And we'll start with Palace versus Hull at Selhurst Park. This is midday on Sunday, and Palace are 21-20 to win it. The draw 12-5, Hull in the betting at 11-4. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 19-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And Umar Nias to score and Hull to win was 5-1, now 7-1. And Derek, this is undoubtedly the biggest game of the weekend. As things stand, Palace 16th in the league with 38 points. They've got this game and an away game against Manchester United to come. Hull now in the relegation zone with 34 points, having lost 2-0 against Sunderland at home last weekend. Hull have Tottenham at home on the final day and have a far worse goal difference than Palace as well. And Tom talked about Sam Allardyce booking that trip to Vegas. Maybe slightly prematurely, because if they lose this game, it's all on for that final day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the way Palace performed, there seems to be there was an air of complacency, wasn't it? It seems as if they thought they'd already done enough, and now all of a sudden, you know, they've probably woken up and thought, Jesus Christ, we're in a bit of trouble here. The key here, though, is they need only a draw. And you know what Big Sam's like when he needs only a draw in a match. I don't think he's going to go hell for leather to get a victory. That's why I'm wary of backing Palace. Even though I think, given the way Hull performed against Sunderland last week, Palace is probably a bit too big. You look at the two team sheets here, and it should be a no-brainer. Palace should win easy. They should not be in a kind of problem in a relegation territory. They are internationals littered aside. You can't say the same about Hull. I don't recognise half their players. It should be a no-brainer for Palace. Especially the way Hull played, as I said. I mean, that performance against Sunderland in probably the biggest game of the season for them, it was shocking by Hull. And I can't explain it because at home, they've done everything right under Marco Silva. To think that he was unbeaten at home in 3 years and to lose that proud record against a team that had already gone down. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, how can you predict that? I've got to go for a draw. I think when Big Sam wants a draw, he'll get one. And I don't think Hull are good enough to break down a side that's going to have defence on their mind. So a draw again for me here.
12-5, the draw in the game. Hull, by the way, have the worst away record in the Premier League this season. I picked up just 6 points and won just once in their 18 matches away from home. That was a shocker last weekend, Tom, because I've enjoyed this Hull revival at the back end of the season with Marco Silva coming in. And then, as Derek said, to lose that home record against Sunderland, who were already relegated, the fans will have barely been able to believe it. And that's the last time Hull are ever going to be 4-9 in the Premier League.
Well, yeah, and that was their opportunity. It really was. I think they're in deep trouble now, Hull, and I think the league table will stay as it is, because I can't see Hull winning this game, and they have to win this match. I mean, Hull's resurgence under Marco Silva, he's been a little bit unfortunate. You know, their home results have been sensational, we know about, but their away run of fixtures, they've played Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, Leicester, Everton and Manchester City. I know the Stoke, Southampton in there as well, but that is as tough a run of away games as you're probably going to get. So I think if they'd have had a more generous away schedule, then I think Marco Silva would have picked up more points away from him while they were in that, you know, that really good run of form. But there's no question, last week will have dealt a huge blow to them. Don't think for a second that this is a confident group of players. This is a fragile squad that Marco Silva has done exceptionally well to get a lot out of, particularly at home. That is extremely damaging. All week now, you know, instead of them being out of the bottom three, which they should have been, you know, they should have got the victory. You know, they're now a point off Swansea, and Swansea have two, dare I say it, relatively simple fixtures for them. I think, you know, a home game against West Brom and the trip to Sunderland this weekend. So Hull have to win the game, but I don't think they will. And I agree with Derek. I think if Sam Allardyce will probably just want to, you know, at the very least keep parity, you know, as things are, or, you know, go and get the victory. But you cannot back Hull, even despite, you know, that tough run of away fixtures that they've had. You just can't see them going down to Palace and winning the match. And when Palace this season have had to win a match under Sam Allardyce during this last sort of 5-6 weeks, they generally have done so. I don't think Palace are that badly priced at 21-20, but I think ultimately it will end up being a draw, which suits Palace a hell of a lot more than it does Hull.
A draw for both Derek and Tom in the game, 12-5 in that match at Selhurst Park. At 2:15 on Sunday, we have the Hammers, West Ham taking on Liverpool. And West Ham are 4-1 to win this game. The draw 14-5 with Liverpool in the betting at 8-11. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. And Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win was 9-5. That's now 9-4. A big win for West Ham last Friday night against Spurs. It pretty much confirmed that Chelsea would win the title. And there will have been that major satisfaction as well, Tom, for West Ham in putting one over on their city rivals as well. Now what punters, I think, have to determine here is whether that was West Ham's last stand or if they've got another performance in them in front of their home fans.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes this game, you know, a little bit tricky, really. I mean, you know, the West Ham fans were celebrating like that, you know, like they'd won the cup and the league. They'd just done the treble last week against Tottenham because it meant a huge amount to them, and they, you know, they performed extremely well. And, you know, I didn't think Tottenham were kind of at their best, but you know, West Ham did what they had to do, and they'll fancy their chances. You know, confidence will be higher against this Liverpool side. And you know, Liverpool, when you kind of look at their results, you look at where they are on the table. You know, if they finish in the top four, I think pretty successful season for them. You know, personally, I never felt they were going to be title contenders. But, you know, the recent run and the recent results away from home have shown a little bit of steel about them. You know, they didn't play well against Watford. They didn't play well at all. And Watford weren't a threat. I've got to make that clear. But, you know, Liverpool, and I know it was a wonder goal that ended up winning the game, but they were pretty solid. You know, they won at West Brom. I know West Brom had been out of form, but, you know, it was still an impressive result and clean sheet. You know, and they went to Stoke and won. And, we talked about Stoke's, you know, good home record as well. So generally away from home, they've not been too bad. They're only sort of blips coming, you know, the last sort of few months has been at Hull City and against Leicester, who refound their form. So this is a really tricky one for me. You know, instinctively, I look at Liverpool at 8-11 and I'm not interested in them at all. But their actual recent results away from home suggest they can, you know, go to West Ham and get some kind of result. But for me, after West Ham last week against Tottenham, considering as well at West Ham, I've had a little bit of a hold over Liverpool. You know, you remember that victory last season, you know, at Anfield early on in the campaign. They seem to rise towards the big games, West Ham. So purely from the price point of view, I've got to be with West Ham here at 4-1, because even though results recently are telling me that Liverpool maybe have turned a bit of a corner away from home, I still can't back them at that price.
I'm with you. I don't want Liverpool 8-11. Derek, obviously, as a Liverpool fan, you'll have watched a lot of their games this season. They are 1-4 to finish in the top four, which is likely now. But would you want to back them 8-11 to win at West Ham?
No. I mean, what we saw from them last week against Southampton at Anfield was because I was the only one who didn't predict it. That was the fourth time this season that Liverpool had taken on Claude Puel's men, and it was the fourth time this season that Southampton had owned them. In fact, Liverpool now wish to be called Liverpool in honour of Claude Puel. They were absolutely useless, and you know what? Even though they were getting those victories that Tom's just outlined, their performances have been really poor for a number of weeks now. And there's no way you could possibly back them at 8-11 on the ground, on the same ground where the Tottenham, you know, the second favourites were marmalised last week. Liverpool, you know, Liverpool fans go on about, yeah, you ask people now, you ask them, punters, you know, why is Champions League football so important? And they'll probably answer, well, you know, money, yeah, fine, and it will attract, you know, the cream of players to your club. You're not going to attract the big players without Champions League football. Well, here's a couple of players Liverpool signed when they could dangle the Champions League carrot. Mario Balotelli and Lazar Markovic. Here's three players they signed without the lure of the Champions League. Roberto Firmino, Sadio Mane, and a certain Luis Suarez. I mean, you know, it nails that lie, doesn't it? You can get top players without the lure of the Champions League. 4-1 Hammers, the way they played against Tottenham, yes, they were up for it. They were their big derby rivals. But this is the last home game of the season. You know, a team of 4-1 in the Premier League playing their last home game of the season, I think you have to back them, even though they've got nothing to play for. Though they have, it's their last home game of the season. I know they've been largely useless this season, but against Spurs, they showed exactly what they're capable of, and that's wrecking the hopes a team has of silverware. They seem to do that every year, West Ham. Normally that team is West Ham. 4-1 is too big. It's just too big. I'm on it.
Tottenham versus Manchester United next Sunday, 4:30 kick-off this one. Tottenham 4-6, the draw 14-5, Manchester United 4-1. Enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 11-4. And Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win was 8-1. That's now 10-1. Derek, Manchester United drew 1-1 with Celta Vigo last night in the Europa League.
They draw 1-1 with everyone.
They do, pretty much. They went through on aggregate into that final. They should have lost that game. The last minute, John Guidetti had a good chance. Claudio Beauvau squared the ball when he should have shot, in all honesty. But it was typical of Manchester United's season. Got 1-0 up. Rested on their laurels, didn't kill a side off, and then should have been beaten at the death.
I know, and you know what? A symptomatic of United's decline since Fergie left. I mean, with 6 minutes to go, Wayne Rooney comes on. They're playing against a mid-table Spanish side at Old Trafford. This is Man United we're talking about, and he's going to the corner for like 6 minutes from time. You know, I suppose you say, well, they have to. You know, they want to get to that. But when I see a big club doing that, I think decline. I mean, what they've lost since Fergie left, Jesus, 6 minutes a game, I think, probably, isn't it? I just can't. You can't back Man United here. I mean, Mourinho's been saying for weeks that, you know, the league's gone forward. Not the league, the top four place is gone. And then we had Ander Herrera in the aftermatch interviews on Thursday night saying much the same. They're steaming towards Europa League glory now. Well, I don't know, steaming is perhaps too strong a word for it, and glory definitely is, but they're not interested in the league, not interested at all now in finishing the top four. They've got Ajax in the final, and that's their route to the top four. They'll be on the beach without question in this game, and Tottenham have certainties at 4-6.
4-6 Spurs for Derek. That run for Spurs was bound to come to an end at some point, Tom. I didn't think it was a bottle job last weekend. It was just a bad performance. It was the season catching up with them, and I'd fully expect them to bounce back at home.
Well, yeah, you would do it, you know, in this kind of game. I mean, I thought against Palace, it was a bit of a similar kind of performance. It was a little bit better, but, you know, they just managed to produce a little bit of magic, you know, to get the result, and they just couldn't do that against West Ham. Tottenham at White Hart Lane have been, you know, nothing short of incredible, really. And, you know, the goals that they've scored, the way they've kind of demolished teams, you know, early on in matches. And every time I've watched Tottenham at home, you know, certainly in 2017, they create chance after chance. You know, you're watching their games, and there's a reason why I think there's a lot of affection for them from neutral fans. You know, people have no affiliation with Tottenham whatsoever, because they're exciting to watch. They create chances. Every time you're watching their games, you know, the ball is in and around that penalty area, and there's so many threats coming from all angles. I mean, you know, Heung-Min Son, I think he's picked up, you know, the Player of the Month award in the Premier League. You know, and he's somebody, when everyone talks about Ali and Eriksen and Kane, I just think there's threats all over, and And Tottenham will be far too cute here against Manchester United, who, you know, I don't know where. Well, they're going nowhere fast, are they? Because that 25-match unbeaten run came to an end, and they went from sixth to sixth. You know, they've basically stayed exactly where they were despite going on that run. It just goes to show that draws are no good anymore in football. I mean, they do absolutely nothing for you. So, you know, Manchester United, a long way to go. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, Jose Mourinho might be looking at, you know, across at these Tottenham players and thinking, I fancy one or two of these. And I wonder whether, you know, I think this summer there will be tests of Tottenham's resolve, I think, on a few of these players, because there are clubs, namely Manchester United, with far bigger checkbooks, and probably wanting to lure maybe, you know, one or two of these players up there. But as far as this game goes, Manchester United have no chance. I mean, they're the same price as West Ham home against Liverpool. They have no chance. I'd say Tottenham with a handicap of minus a goal here at 15-8. I think Tottenham will tear them to pieces.
I think that's a good bet. Tottenham minus one at 15-8. And let's not forget, we've been talking about teams having their final home game of the season. This is the final home game in the Premier League at White Hart Lane, isn't it? Which is an intangible.
Well, they're already moving 30 yards the other way. They basically just rotated the stadium. I'm not having all this tearful goodbye to White Hart Lane. It's right there. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, you can see the new stadium from this one. I'm not having that.
They've won 16 and drawn 2 at home this season. They're looking to go unbeaten at home for the first time in the league since 64-65 Spurs, and both Tom and Derek expect them to do so. 4-6 Spurs to win the game. The draw 14-5 with Manchester United in the betting at 4-1. Let's have a look at the non-televised fixtures this weekend, and it starts with Everton versus Watford, which is this evening, Friday, 7:45. Everton 1-2, the draw 16-5 with Watford in the betting at 11-2. Enhanced odds, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 19-20. That's been enhanced to 11-10. And Mbaye Niang to score and Watford to win was 11-1. That's now 12-1. Tom, Everton haven't scored in 3. Watford haven't scored in 3. So we expect an entertaining game at Goodison this evening. Both teams obviously come into this with underwhelming form. You've got to imagine we'll see something better from Everton at Goodison tonight, surely.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I you know, put it this way. But yeah, both teams coming into it in similar form. But if you're asking me which team are more likely to produce a reaction, it has to be Everton. You know, with players who still have points to prove. I mean, you know, I've looked at some of Ronald Koeman's decisions this season, some of the things he said, particularly how he handled and has handled Romelu Lukaku. And I've thought about it and go, well, I'm not sure whether that was right. That was a bit of a risky one. And, you know, he's done the same thing with Barkley this week. He's basically saying you've got a week to decide, you know, on his contract. But it's so refreshing, I think, in this day and age to have a manager who is pretty honest, very open, and he's certainly not afraid of sort of putting ultimatums out there in public, you know, towards the players. And I think he's ruling with an iron fist there. And I think this has been a season of transition. So I think overall, I think Everton have done pretty well, you know, considering the home fans have seen a lot of goals, they've seen a lot of victories. And I know they were well beaten by Chelsea in the last game, but at home. But that just kind of shows the gulf in class there between, you know, a team like Chelsea and where Everton are. But they've had no problem scoring. I mean, they'd won 8 in a row, you know, at home before that. Many of them, of course, by more than a goal difference. And Watford, you know, away from home, what? Lost 10 of the last 13. 4 of the most 5 recent away defeats as well have been more than a goal. You know, what I'm trying to say here is I think the Everton squad and Everton players have points to prove here, you know, with a manager who's going to make more sweeping changes in the summer. And you've got a Watford, you know, set of players who are probably thinking, well, the manager's not going to be here. Am I going to be? You know, I don't think they're actually as bothered about Everton, because you're either with Koeman or you're not. And at Watford, you're either probably out the door with their manager, Mazzarri. So I can't see Watford. I don't know what Watford's motivation is here. Plus, they lose games comfortably away from home, and Everton at home have been brilliant this season. So it's going to be an Everton win. And like, I'd take the minus 2 goals here at 3-1. And Lukaku, what, 14 goals in his last 10 home matches? Wouldn't be the worst idea to play something along the lines of him scoring at any time.
Yeah, I like the enhanced odds. I think that lands this week. Lukaku to score and Everton to win. I know it's only been enhanced to 11-10, but I think it's a good odds again shot. And Lukaku to score 2 or more is another enhancement here. That's available at 7-2. Which looks good to me as well. Derek, I will be opposing Watford at every opportunity from here on in. And I think tonight they're going to get stuffed by Everton.
Yeah, they will. I mean, I said a few weeks ago, I look back to the same, to the stage last season when they finally got over the line, over the 40-point line. And in their remaining six games, five of them against absolutely useless opposition, they lost four and drew one. And it's the same MO again this season. So it's absolutely no surprise. And, you know, I've been saying Watford have given the worst performances, not just one or two, but like six or seven that I've seen this season. I'm thinking, is it just me? Can't anybody else see how bad this team is? And I was talking in a pub the other night and somebody had exactly the same view. So, I mean, she was only four, like, but still. I don't know, they are a shocking team, and Everton nailed on to win this. I know they haven't, you know, they've been poor recently. They're going to finish seventh no matter what happens. So I suppose it's understandable. But it's the final home game, you see. They've got something to prove, whereas Watford haven't. I mean, the two teams have basically been on the beach. The last few weeks, they've been going through the lotions. That's how obvious it's been on the beach. But Everton have got something to go for in this, as it's their final home game. And, yeah, the minus two that Tom mentions, 3-1. That looks a decent bet to me because I think they'll marmalise them. Walter Mazzarri, the Watford manager, still can't converse in English. And the way they've been playing Watford suggests something is being badly lost in translation, usually as matches. I don't think they'll get it. I don't think they'll raise a gallop here and skip this game, Watford. I've never seen a game more likely to finish in a home win.
Everton 1-2 to win that game. Let's take a look at Saturday's games that aren't televised, the ones that kick off at 3 p.m. Bournemouth versus Burnley first. Bournemouth 19-20 to win the match. The draw 12-5, Burnley 3-1. The enhanced odds, Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win, was 2-1, enhanced to 5-2. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Derek, Bournemouth are a couple of points above Burnley, and the two teams bring almost identical records to the table here, recent records anyway. Both have two draws, two wins and two losses in their last six. And in addition to that, both drew 2-2 last weekend. Bournemouth at home to Stoke and Burnley at home to West Brom. How do you view this fixture?
Well, I think they're both teams to score is at 8-30, and it's probably the shortest I've seen in the Premier League. It might be shorter I've missed, but it's as short as I've seen. And the reason is simple. Both teams will score. Forget any nil-nils. Burnley have got the monkey off the back about winning away from home, and he did it a few weeks ago. And rightly so, too, because, you know, I've seen them a few of their away performances, principally at Liverpool when they lost 2-1, and they looked a real good side. I could actually see them winning this, you know. I think 3-1 Burnley in a game where... And sometimes in a game like this at the end of the season, I keep saying, well, it's hard to score a goal in the Premier League. You need to make that run. You need to make that long burst when you don't really want to and there's nothing at stake. And a lot of those games generally finish 0-0. But I think the opposite actually applies here. I think both teams will, nothing to prove, both safe. I think both teams will really go for it. If this finishes 9-0, it wouldn't be a surprise. I'm going to go for Burnley at 3-1.
I'd be shocked if it finished 9-0, I must admit. Burnley 3-1 to win the game is Derek's pick. If you're looking for a goal scorer here as well, Sam Vokes has got three in his last three. He's 19-10 to score any time for Burnley in this match. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, it's quite an interesting kind of matchup, really. You know, these two managers, Sean Dyche and Eddie Howe, kind of, you know, two of the, you know, still relatively kind of young English managers, you know, still, you know, in the first early years, I suppose, of their career, particularly at the top level. And they have completely different ways of going about things. Both of them have been incredibly successful for their particular clubs. You know, Bournemouth, there is this strong ideology in how they play. They're very attack-minded, which has, of course, cost them at the back. And Sean Dyche is more 4-4-2. He knows that defence is first and foremost what's going to, you know, keep his team in the Premier League. And they've been very functional, you know, without being fantastic. I know which team I'd prefer to pay and go and watch. But ultimately, when they kind of meet, it's this contrast in styles, which I think is quite interesting. And, you know, Bournemouth, for me, are always going to concede. And I always think they're going to score. And Burnley away from home, given the stage of the season they're at and what they've achieved already, you know, I think they might be pretty similar, you know, in this game. Because, you know, I agree with Derek. Away from home, you know, Burnley's away form has been poor, but you actually look at those results, they don't get beaten, you know, especially against some of the bigger clubs. They don't get beat by big scores. You know, Burnley, I can't think of any on hand, someone might be able to remind me, but I can't think of any games where Burnley have been absolutely embarrassed. Now, Bournemouth have, you know, because Bournemouth, when they collapse, they can collapse because they were beaten, you know, they were beaten by Palace recently when they weren't in any great form, and I think they have suffered a heavy defeat, didn't they, to Sunderland as well. So, you know, there's kind of the shock defeat, but this is where I kind of look at them both, and I think both teams to score is an absolute certainty here. And I tell you what bet I quite like in this one. It's the both score no draw at 29-20. Burnley at 3-1. You know, you might be able to make a case for them, but I think Bournemouth at home are strong, but they're just too short for me at 19-20. So I'm going to play the both score no draw at 29-20. I'm expecting some goals, but it could go either way. I think it's toss of a coin for a result.
On to Middlesbrough versus Southampton. Middlesbrough 13-5 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Southampton 21-20. Enhanced odds. Alvaro Negredo to score and Borough to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 11-5. That's now 3-1. Middlesbrough relegated after being beaten by Chelsea on Monday night. There's a chance they might come into this and play with a bit of freedom, having gone down, and four of their last five Premier League wins have come at the Riverside. But we talk about goals in this league, and if you're not scoring, you're not winning, and you're going down. And Middlesbrough have failed to score in 17 Premier League games this season, which is extraordinary, really, Tom.
Well, it is, and you know, you said they might play with freedom, but I don't think freedom's going to score them goals unless they unless he's a free transfer from somewhere pretty good over the summer. Middlesbrough have had an awful season all in, and I think they'll look back. You know, some teams go down, and you know it was kind of destined. It wasn't destined for Middlesbrough. You know, it was in their own hands at one point. I think they were 4-5 points clear of the drop zone, but ultimately, you know, the teams around them have been far better. And I'm just kind of imagining myself being a Southampton fan, you know, setting the alarm on Saturday morning to make the trip from the south coast to Teesside, and just thinking, you know, have I really got the heart to do it? You know, I mean, Southampton are in a group of teams. We talked about them a lot. I don't, you know, they've had some good moments. Obviously, they got to the League Cup final, which was great. But ultimately, what's the season going to show for them? You know, their best player, Van Dijk, will probably be picked off once again. And I think Southampton fans have been a little bit spoiled. I heard a Southampton fan on the radio this week and said, look, you know, he said, our last two coaches have been what, in his opinion, were world-class coaches in Pochettino and Koeman. So he thinks Puel's done a pretty good job, all things considered, because they still feel staying in the Premier League's decent for them. But look, unlike the last game, the match between Bournemouth and Burnley, I don't think both teams to score here is a certainty. I mean, I don't think Middlesbrough, even though it is the final home game, and they will play, you know, there isn't that pressure on them now, obviously. You know, I think they will put on a little bit of a performance. And I can understand you looking at Middlesbrough and thinking, yeah, go on and I'll take them at home. But Southampton can't score either. And away from home, you know, it's not been a particularly great run for them. I think they've won four and lost seven of their 15 away matches this season. So I would either look at under 2.5 goals here at 4-5 or the 0-0 draw at 10-1. I can't see anything happening in this game. It's a fixture neither side want.
It's tough to call here, Derek, isn't it?
Well, you know, that performance by Sunderland last week, it changes the landscape all of a sudden. It's like Leicester winning the Premier League, that changed the landscape. Well, Sunderland doing what they did last week when they were relegated, playing against a team that were fighting for their lives and yet still won 2-0. Mm. That's inexplicable. And maybe, you know, I always thought, what a load of nonsense that is. Oh, a team can play with freedom now. They're already down. They can play with freedom. And yeah, tell us about it. But that's exactly what happened. And, you know, who's to say it won't happen again? Middlesbrough are down. And they had given all their best form at the Riverside. I mean, didn't they have a draw against Man City there a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago? So they are capable. And they're playing against the Southampton side who can't score. Southampton should have given up the goals. But the way they celebrated last week after getting a point at Anfield annoyed me, that. I don't know what to think about this game. All I can say is that under 1.5 goals at 5-2 looks mighty big, given the problems that both sides have had scoring, and that, I think that's where I'll play safe and go for that one.
Leaning towards Borough as well, if you had to go in the outright, Derek.
Yeah, I would definitely be leaning towards Borough, yeah.
Sunderland versus Swansea is the last game we're going to look at on this podcast, and Sunderland are 3-1 to win the game. The draw 5-2 with Swansea 10-11. Enhanced odds, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. That landed last weekend. And Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 15-8. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Derek, Swansea obviously need the points. Big game for them. If they can win, the pressure really mounts on Hull and in some way on Palace as well. And Swansea finished the season with a very winnable home game against West Brom also. So they are looking good to stay in the Premier League now, Swansea, Derek.
Yeah, definitely in their hands. And, you know, Sunderland, playing at home for Sunderland is not a big advantage, is it? Because the fans, the patience of the fans runs out with them very, very quickly. What do you say? Sunderland are a perfect example of what happens when people not up to the job are paid too much money. This podcast is another, by the way. I mean, they've got a manager not up to it. They've got players not up to it. And if you take Jermaine Defoe out of that side, which somebody will in the summer probably, I don't see what you're left with there. I can't explain that result last week against Hull. It's just one of those that it's just, well, you put it down to, God knows where you put it down to. I can't see Swansea not winning this game. I know I've been saying for much of this podcast today that a team playing at home in the final game of the season, the final home game of the season, they owe it to their fans to lift their game. But I don't think Sunderland are capable of lifting it too high. And they're playing against the Swansea side. I've been saying for a long time, I've been beating the Swansea drum, haven't I? Even before Clement took over. They've got some good players in that squad. Players that are good enough to stay in the Premier League. And I think they'll show it this weekend. That performance against Everton, okay, an Everton side that we're not totally committed. That was a great performance by Swansea last week. And I expect them to get 3 points here.
10-11, Swansea to win the game, Tom?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think Paul Clement will be sent to his side. I think they've put themselves in such a good position. They've almost got two chances. But I think if they win this weekend, I think they're pretty much there. And I think the incentive is way, way, way too big for Swansea. And what Derek says there about the players they've got, you know, they've got two in particular that would walk into, well, certainly one of them, Gylfi Sigurdsson, I think would walk into 12 Premier League sides at the very least. And there's a reason why Everton are very, very keen to sign him in the summer, regardless of what happens with Swansea, because he's the best player, I think, in the bottom six in the Premier League. And he's probably going to be key for their survival. I think they'll have watched, you know, Sunderland's performance at Hull with great interest, and they'll have been analysing that and thinking, you know, if they show any kind of what they've been up to recently, Swansea, if they can get the performance levels anywhere to where they've been, particularly against Everton, and they've played well, they should win this game. And I think, it's exactly right. You know, Sunderland, all right, freedom, last home game of the season, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, this is a win for Swansea, knowing that Palace or Hull or both of them are dropping points at the weekend, and they know they finished with a home game against West Brom. It couldn't be any better for Swansea. So I think they win the game. And I think you could probably look at the man I'm talking about there, Sigurdsson, here to get on the score sheet. He's 5-4 any time.
Yep, 5-4, Sigurdsson to score any time. Swansea win, according to Derek and Tom, 10-11, Swansea to win the game. That leaves us with the Naps, chaps. And as Aaron on Twitter said last weekend, he should have been lumping on the Jermaine Defoe and Salomon Rondon to score double, because we got stuck into both of those players last weekend to a certain extent, and both got on the score sheet.
They must have heard us. It was motivation.
Motivation, precisely. Yeah. Tom, you lead us off this week.
There's a few that I like, you know. There's a few, you know, nicely priced, in particular Everton minus a couple of goals against Watford. I think West Ham against Liverpool. But I'm going to go for Tottenham minus a goal at 15-8 against Manchester United. I can't see anything other than a very comfortable Tottenham victory there.
I do like that one a lot. Tottenham minus one at 15-8 is Tom's selection. Derek?
I'm going in the Bournemouth-Burnley game over 12 goals. I'll go for a West Ham 4-1 to beat Liverpool.
The Hammers 4-1 to beat Liverpool is Derek's selection. Who do I fancy? I like Everton, pro Everton bet. So I'm going to go with. I like that Lukaku to score two or more, but I'd have to go two or more at 3-1. Romelu Lukaku as my bet. So Tottenham minus one, 15-8. West Ham at 4-1. Lukaku two or more at 3-1. And that treble pays 56.5-1 this weekend. 56.5-1, the treble. Chaps, only 1 week left.
I know.
We're still trebleless, are we? We haven't got one up all week.
Still trebleless. Still trebleless. Play it as a Trixie. Remember to play it as a Trixie.
Well, this 50-1 poke goes in. We're up on the season, aren't we? So,
well, precisely. That's all we're relying on, just to land a 50-1 shot before the end of the season. It's easy. Thank you, Derek.
Cheers. Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Do check out all the betting at williamhill.com. Also, make sure you download the podcast via iTunes and subscribe, and check us out at audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill. If you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.